Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into a whole stack of recent updates coming out of Canada. We're looking at immigration, yes, but also some pretty significant government investments. Our job, as always, is to cut through the noise and pull out the really important stuff for you. We want you to see not just what's happening, but maybe the strategy behind it all.
Exactly. Because these policies, immigration, government spending, they aren't just happening in a vacuum, are they? They're responses. They're part of a bigger plan.
Yeah.
And understanding that why it matters piece, well, that's crucial, I think.
Absolutely. And we've got some really interesting pieces to connect today. We'll be looking at the latest from Express Entry, a very specific draw that just happened. Then we'll touch on a key application requirement, something that, well, maybe gets overlooked sometimes. And finally, we pivot to two big government investments. These aren't just numbers, they really signal priorities. So let's unpack this. Okay, let's kick things off with Express Entry. Draw number 362. Now, this wasn't your standard all-program draw. IRCC sent out 2,500 invitations to apply, ITAs. But, and this is the key part, it was only for candidates with work experience in healthcare and social services.
Mm.
And the CRS score cutoff needed for this one, 470. So what does a targeted draw like this, focusing so tightly, actually tell us?
What's fascinating is that targeting, it's so deliberate, isn't it? It shows Canada isn't just, you know, opening the doors generally.
Mm-hmm.
They're actively trying to solve specific labor shortages.
Mm-hmm.
By saying healthcare and social services, they're basically putting up a huge neon sign for people in those fields.
Right, like we need you specifically right now.
Exactly. It signals a really strong, probably quite urgent demand for those skills.
Yeah.
And it creates a clearer path for those people.
Okay, so it's a very direct approach. And that CRS score, 470. In this targeted context, what does that number mean? Is 470 high, low?
Well, 470
mm-hmm.
in an all-program draw, that might be on the lower side sometimes, depending on the draw.
Mm.
But for a targeted draw like this, it still means you need a strong profile. It's competitive. You're likely looking at people with good education, probably post-secondary, definitely solid work experience in those specific fields, and, crucially, really good language scores, English or French. Those always matter.
Uh-huh.
So even though they're targeting a specific need, they're still aiming for, you know, high-caliber candidates who can integrate well. It's not just about the job title.
That makes sense. So for our listeners in healthcare or social services, this is, well, it's more than just news. It's a signpost, a potential strategic advantage, really. Okay, now, moving from the who Canada is looking for, let's talk about a what. A critical step for pretty much every Express Entry applicant. Our sources are really emphasizing this lately, the upfront medical exam. It sounds routine, maybe, but the timing doing it upfront seems to hold some strategic weight. Why is doing it before you even apply so important?
Yeah, this is a point that I think often gets misunderstood. People sometimes see it as just another box to tick later on. But doing it up front isn't just about the basic public health screening, which is, of course, fundamental. The real advantage for the applicant is strategic. It's about managing uncertainty.
Managing uncertainty. How so? What does that look like practically?
Well, think about it. Let's say you wait until after you get your ITA, your invitation to apply,
mm-hmm.
and then you do your medical, and maybe something comes up. A small issue, maybe something that needs clarification or further tests.
Right.
Suddenly, you're under pressure. You've got deadlines for submitting your full application. Any delay with a medical could jeopardize the whole thing. But if you do it up front, before the ITA clock starts ticking, you have time. You have breathing room to sort out any issues, get extra reports if needed, understand the implications without that looming deadline pressure.
Ah, I see. So you're basically clearing a potentially complicated hurdle early on.
Exactly. It smooths the path for IRCC, too. When they get your application post-ITA, that medical piece is already done, hopefully clear.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes the whole processing flow much more efficiently. It signals that you're prepared, you're ready, it's proactive.
So it's not just about maybe speeding things up slightly. It's actually a form of risk management for the applicant, tackling potential problems before they become serious roadblocks. That's really valuable advice for anyone going through this.
It really is.
Now, these individual steps, the draws, the exams, they're all pieces of a bigger picture, right? A national strategy. Canada's also putting its money where its mouth is, making some pretty big financial commitments. These aren't just line items in a budget. They really point towards national priorities. So where's the money going? First, our sources flag a federal investment, $34 million, and it's specifically for French language health services. That's a decent chunk of change. What's the signal there beyond just, you know, supporting bilingualism?
Well, at $34 million, I think it goes quite a bit deeper than just ticking the official languages box.
Yeah.
It's really a strategic investment in Well, in community stability, you could say, particularly for Francophone communities outside Quebec. By strengthening French health services, the government is trying to make it easier for French speakers to stay in or move to regions where they might be a minority. It helps fight against linguistic erosion.
So it's about retention and ensuring people can actually live in French across the country, even in critical areas like healthcare.
Precisely. It ensures that access to essential services, like healthcare, isn't a barrier for French-speaking Canadians. It supports the vitality of those communities. It's about making sure the country's linguistic duality is reflected in practice, not just on paper. It fosters inclusion.
That's a really interesting connection, linking healthcare funding directly to linguistic and demographic vitality. But the spending doesn't stop at the federal level. Our sources also pointed out something happening in Ontario. A $70 million investment from the provincial government aimed specifically at protecting Ontario workers. What kind of impact could that have?
$70 million for worker protection in Ontario. That's significant at the provincial level. It likely covers a range of things. You know, stronger enforcement of workplace safety rules, maybe better protection of labor rights, perhaps new programs to support workers who are more vulnerable. From an economic standpoint, think about what that does. Safer, fairer workplaces usually mean happier, more productive workers, right? Less turnover. It makes Ontario potentially a more attractive place for people to work and build a career. So while it's directly about worker well-being, it also shores up the province's labor force, its stability, and its overall economic competitiveness.
Yeah.
It helps attract and keep talent.
Right. So we've got this federal move strengthening French services, impacting community health.